37. Century City. Chevette didn't know what to think about Los Angeles. She thought those palm trees were weird, though. On the way in, Sublette's electric car had pulled up behind this big white trailer rig with A-Life installations, nanotronic vegetation across the back of it, and the heads of these fake palm trees sticking out, all wrapped in plastic. She'd seen it all on TV once with Skinner, how they were putting in these trees to replace the ones the virus had killed, some Mexican virus. They were kind of like the Bay Maglev, or like what Rydell and Sublette said that sunflower company was going to do in San Francisco. These things that kind of grew, but only because they were made up of all these little tiny machines. One show she'd seen with Skinner, they'd talked about how these new trees were designed so that all kinds of birds and rats and things could nest in them, just like the ones that had died. Skinner told her that he'd run a jeep into a real palm tree in L.A. once, and about 10 rats had fallen out, landed on the hood, and just sort of stood there until they got scared and ran away. It sure didn't feel like San Francisco. She felt kind of two ways about it, like it was just this bunch of stuff all spread out pretty much at random, and then like it was this really big place with mountains somewhere back there and all this energy flowing around in it, lighting things up. Maybe that was because they'd got there at night. Sublette had this little white Euro car called a Mancho. She knew that because she'd had to look at the logo on the dash all the way from Paradise. Sublette said it rhymed with poncho. It was built in Barcelona, and you just plugged it into the house current and left it until it was charged. It wouldn't do much more than 40 on a highway, but Sublette didn't like to drive anything else because of his allergies. She said he was lucky they had electric cars. He'd told her all about how he was worried about the electromagnetic fields and cancer and stuff. They'd left his mother with this Mrs. Baker, watching Space Hunter on the TV. They were both real excited about that because they said it was Molly Ringwald's first film. They'd get excited about just about anything like that, and Chevette never had any idea who they were talking about. She looked at the handcuff. She'd covered it over with black epoxy goop and a bunch of pink and blue beads she'd got off Sublette's mother. Basically, it looked like shit, but then again, it didn't look all that much like a handcuff. Rydell was just spending more and more time on the phone, and they'd had to stop and buy fresh batteries twice, Sublette paying. It kind of bothered her that he didn't give her any more attention, and they'd slept on the same bed again, in the room at the motel, but nothing had happened, even though Sublette had slept out in the Mancho, with the seats tilted back. All Rydell ever did now was talk to those Republic of Desire people Lowell knew, but on the regular phone, and try to leave messages on somebody's voicemail. Mr. Mom, or something Ma. But he didn't think anybody was getting them, so he'd call up the Desire people and gone on and on about the whole story, everything that happened to them, and they'd recorded it, and they were supposed to put it into this Mr. Ma's voicemail. Rydell said they were going to stuff it there, so there wasn't any other mail. Said that ought to get his attention. When they'd got to L.A. and got a room in a motel, Chevette had been kind of excited, because she'd always wanted to do that, because her mother had always seemed to have real good times when she went to motels. Well, it had turned out to be sort of like a trailer camp without the trailers, with these little concrete buildings divided up into smaller rooms, and there were foreign people cooking barbecues down in what had been the swimming pool. Sublette had gotten really upset about that, how he couldn't handle the hydrocarbons and everything. But Rydell had said it was just for the one night. Then Rydell had gone over to the foreign people and talked to them a little, and came back and said they were Tibetans. They made a good barbecue, too, but Sublette just ate this drugstore food he'd brought with him, bottled water, and these yellow bars looked like soap, and went out to sleep in his Mancho. Now, here she was, walking into this place called Century City 2, and trying to look like she was there to pull a tag. It was this kind of green, tit-shaped thing up on these three legs that ran up through it. You could see where they went because the walls were some kind of glass, mostly, and you could see through. It was about the biggest thing around. You could see it forever. Rydell called it the Blob. It was real upscale, too, kind of like China Basin, with those same kind of people, like you mostly saw in the financial district, or in malls, or when you were pulling tags. Well, she had her badges on, and she'd had a good shower at the motel, but the place was starting to creep her out anyway. All these trees in there, up all through this sort of giant hollow leg, and everything under this weird filtered light came in through the sides. And here she was standing on this escalator about a mile long, just going up and up, and around her all these people who must have belonged there. There were elevators, Rydell said, up the other two legs, and they ran at an angle, like the lift up to Skinner's. But Sublette's friend had said there were more intense secure people watching those, usually. She knew that Sublette was behind her, somewhere, or anyway, that was how they'd worked it out before Rydell dropped them off at the entrance. She'd asked him where he was going then, and he just said he had to go and borrow a flashlight. She was starting to really like him. It sort of bothered her. She wondered what he'd be like if he wasn't in a situation like this. She wondered what she'd be like if she wasn't in a situation like this. He and Sublette had both worked for the company that did security for this building, Intensecure, and Sublette had called up a friend of his and asked him questions about how tight it was. The way he'd put it, it was like he wanted a new job with the company. But he and Rydell had worked it out that she could get in, particularly if he was following her to keep track. What bothered her about Sublette was that he was acting sort of like he was committing suicide or something. Once he'd gotten with the program, Rydell's plan, it was like he felt cut loose from things, kept talking about his apostasy and these movies he liked, and somebody called Cronenberg, had this weird calm like somebody who knew for sure he was going to die, like he'd sort of made peace with it, except he'd still get upset about his allergies. Green light, rising up through it. They'd made her up this package at the motel. What it had in it was the glasses, addressed to Karen Mendelsohn. She closed her eyes, told herself Bunny Malatesta would bongo on her head if she didn't make the tag, and pushed the button. Yes. It was one of those computers. Allied messenger for Karen Mendelsohn? A delivery? She's got a sign for it. Authorized to barcode? Her hand. Gotta see her hand. Do it, you know? Silence. Nature of delivery? You think I open them or what? Nature of delivery? Well, Chevette said, it says probate court. It's from San Francisco. And you don't open the door, Mr. Wizard. It's on the next plane back. Wait, please, said the computer. Chevette looked at the potted plants beside the door. They were big, looked real, and she knew Sublette was standing behind them, but she couldn't see him. Somebody had put a cigarette out on one between its roots. The door opened a crack. Yes? Karen Mendelsohn? What is it? Allied messenger, San Francisco. You want to sign for this? Except there was nothing, no tag to sign. San Francisco? What it says. The door opened a little more. Dark-haired woman in a long, pale, terry-cloth robe. Chevette saw her check the badges on Skinner's jacket. I don't understand, Karen Mendelsohn said. We do everything via Globex. They're too slow, Chevette said, as Sublette stepped around the plant, wearing this black uniform. Chevette saw herself reflected in his contacts, sort of bent out at the middle. Ms. Mendelsohn, he said, afraid we've got us a security emergency here? Karen Mendelsohn was looking at him. Emergency? Nothing to worry about, Sublette said. He put his hand on Chevette's shoulder and guided her in past Karen Mendelsohn. Situation's under control. Appreciate your cooperation.